Julia Hansen remembers her first cigarette. She was 19. She loved it. So much that soon she was smoking a pack or two a day. 20 years later, she decided to quit. But after nicotine patches, therapy, hypnosis, you name it, she couldn't quit. She kept going back to her beloved Newport Lights. So Julia Hansen did something unusual and a bit extreme. She bought a 72-foot, 40-pound chain and locked herself to the radiator in her dining room for a week. Her account of those 7 days is chronicled in her memoir, A Life in Smoke.
It's a bit unusual. I think on the other end, you know, cancer's extreme. You know, undergoing a lung transplant is extreme. Getting a tracheotomy is extreme. And, you know, give me a week in chains any day.
Yeah. So that's what you did. You chained yourself to the radiator.
Yes, I did. I mean, you know, the purpose was twofold. I mean, there was the purely practical purpose of, you know, I didn't trust myself to walk around free and not go to CVS and buy a pack of cigarettes. I knew that my will would weaken and that would happen. So, you know, if I couldn't leave the house, problem solved. I think in a larger sense, though, I wanted to wear my addiction. I wanted to experience it. You know, it was a metaphorical chain around me, shackling me to an early death. And I wanted to experience it. I wanted to confront it. And you cannot run away from something you're chained to.
Well, let's back up a little bit from that then. Tell me about smoking. Did you enjoy smoking?
Yes, I did. And I also hated smoking. I think smoking is many things. It's sort of like the Swiss Army knife of addictions. To a hardcore smoker, there's really nothing that it can't do. It comforts you when you need comfort. When you want to punish yourself, you smoke yourself into illness. It's a poison and it's a medicine, and it revs you up and it calms you down. But I think what smoking did for me most was enable me to hide. For me, I think everyone has a different reason for smoking. My reason was to hide from myself and from the world, really, behind a wall of smoke.
There are passages in here, and you're looking back at your life of smoking, that make it clear that for you, smoking was often a very sensual experience. There's a description of what a menthol cigarette tasted like for you that makes it, you know, for a non-smoker, I suppose it must be almost appealing there.
Yeah, I mean, I can still, you know, every once in a while, I mean, I can look back and remember that coolness, that sort of icy blast in the lungs, that sort of, you know, when you're drinking it with coffee, it sort of has the taste of an after-eight mint. It does indeed. And again, you can look back on that and say, wow, you know, that was nice, and appreciate it from afar. Yeah. I don't ever romance the cigarette anymore.
But there was romance in it. One of the other things I was struck by is how early in your life, not your smoking, but your mother's smoking, was associated for you with real pleasure, even though she was barely a smoker at all, right?
Mm-hmm, that's true. I mean, I remember being a girl and waking up every, you know, my alarm clock was basically the smell of my mother's One Camel Light and the overpowering, my mother loves to this day, still does love perfume. And every morning, the smell of perfume and the smell of that Camel Light. And she was a beautiful, elegant woman, and she just looked so beautiful smoking. I don't blame my mother at all for the fact that I smoked, but I suppose that image is one that lingers for me.
I have to say, as an ex-smoker myself, that anybody who can smoke one cigarette a day is hateful.
Yes, I fervently agree.
But it isn't, I mean, you know, nicotine, obviously, for the addiction is there. But for you, it was more than nicotine that was addicting. It wasn't the chemical alone that was driving you crazy, or the nicotine patches would have taken care of it for you, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going through a very traumatic time. I had just broken up with a man, and I was smoking so much that I was physically ill, and I would heave and nothing would come up, and I would just hold my cigarette. I would just hold it. And I would put my cigarettes on the passenger seat when I was driving, and they were my friends. If they weren't there, I felt exceedingly alone and frightened. I think it would be interesting for all smokers to imagine their cigarettes not where they're supposed to be and sort of explore that feeling. You know, how do you feel? Are you a little scared? Are you sad? Because I think that's very telling and something to sort of think about.
Tell me again about this week when you finally decided to quit. I mean, what built you up to that? You had a child, you'd quit smoking, and then you started again. What was different when you finally decided that even if it meant being chained to the radiator, you were going to do this?
Yeah. Well, that story really begins in 2003. I had just been married a month before to my second husband, a wonderful man, and I had, you know, this beautiful 7-year-old and, you know, a great job. My life had calmed down considerably. I'd been through a couple of years of turmoil before I met my second husband, John, and life had just started to feel right again, good. And I guess I felt I didn't want to leave life in an oxygen tent. Everything was going so well. I wanted to stay around and live as long as possible. And that was a new feeling for me. Every day wasn't a battle anymore, but every day became a gift. And I got desperate. I tried everything, the patches, the gum. Nothing had worked. And I was bound and determined that I was going to quit. And if I had to chain myself in my house to do it, that's what I would do. And of course, you know, my family and my husband's family thought I was completely nuts. But they're used to that.
It's all past tense for you now, but I gather that being chained to a radiator actually didn't quite work.
No. 6 weeks after lockdown was New Year's Eve, and I lit up on New Year's Eve, and I hated myself for it. The feeling was I was watching these smokers. They were sitting. There was a wall between us that separated the smokers from the non. They were on the sun porch all smoking and drinking beer and looking like they were just having the best time.
Kind of like junior high again, huh?
Yeah, and I was on the other side of the door with no drink in my hand and no cigarette in my hand and just pouting, miserable, you know. And at that moment, the need just overpowered me and I weakened. And thus began my, you know, double life for a while until my husband caught me. And I smoked, actually, for most of 2004 and wrote the book, too. So I was smoking while writing a book about quitting smoking, another irony of my life.
And when you finally quit for the last time, when was that? How long have you been? You say now you don't even have the urge to smoke anymore. When did that finally happen?
The end came. I don't know if you ever did this as a smoker, but sometimes you'll play games with yourself. You don't want to not have cigarettes with you. But as long as you have them, you feel secure and you don't really need to smoke one. As long as they're there. And that's really what happened to me. You know, I got up one day and started writing and had an urge for a cigarette and they were there. And a little voice said, you know, no, wait a while. And I did. And I didn't really trust that voice for a long time. You know, I withstood the urge to smoke that day. The day became a couple days. I kept the cigarettes there on my desk where I could see them. A week, you know. And then finally, I threw them away. And I think it's been, my last cigarette was March 2005. And then that's when I finally threw them away. And even then, I wasn't completely sure. It scared me to throw that pack away. But it was gone. And now, you know, I look at a cigarette between somebody's fingers like somebody I used to know, but have no desire to cross the other side of the street and say, hey, you know, how you doing? I know them. They were a part of my life. And now I'm free to let them go. You know, they're the past.
This is my life. My
life. Julia Henson's memoir about quitting smoking is called A Life in Smoke.